The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, transformational time for the Truth Tuesday as we challenge the worldly because they're under deception. But we know Jesus, and by him, he is the way, the truth, and the life. First up, we talk about giving. No, not that you need to be giving to us, but that we all need to be giving as a part of our due diligence and stewardship in the Lord. Next, we introduce a new segment with new sounds. It's labeled PCU, but it doesn't stand for Penn State University, and that's probably a good idea. And then finally, we examine the connection between priority, remembrance, and applied truth teaching, and why we are often dumb as rocks.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. How much more? A lot. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You know you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's the phone to call in, where Terrific T will pick up the phone and answer for you. She will not give you a lotto number. She will not give you a free coupon to pizza. Unless you have a free coupon to pizza, and then just let me know. So, I mean, I'm just saying. And then, but then you can be on hold and answer the trivia question that we have, or you can offer up a prayer request, a praise report, maybe a pop question. The best we can do, we'll do the best we can to help. Additionally, you can text in, and a lot of people do that because it's safe and safer. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Also, I said yesterday you can go outside your house and you could scream our name and we might reply, but probably not because we're in a studio. There is another method that you can do, and that is you can get a kite and you can fly the kite and then hold a message from the kite and try and get it over the studio some way that way. But I don't think we'll see it.
You can do the bird call.
Well, a bird call would be good. And then what, a bird would come and bring it in? Or are they just doing a bird call directly to us?
It could be both.
Okay.
You could do the bird call at the door.
Now you got like five different ways to get a hold of us. Now, I'm going to highly advise either calling in or texting. But if you've got something else in mind, we would support you. All right. Here is the first trivia question for those that are ready. Get, I don't think we do pencil sharpeners anymore, but I kind of am wanting to say, you know, get your pencil sharpened. But okay. What is the first lie recorded in the Bible? What is the first lie recorded in the Bible? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also, 214-210-8483. I'm going to share with you something before I get into the teaching that you're going to think, you know, there's something wrong with this guy. And we've known that for, I think it's 16, 17, 18 months at this point, that there is something wrong with me. Don't forget DNA, D, draw closer to the Lord, N, never be ashamed, A, always be ready. There was a new poll that came out that said that a large amount of Christians are too ashamed to share their faith. Like, that is not kosher, okay? Non-kosher. Okay, we'll get to talk about kosher another time, but not kosher. We need to always be drawing closer to the Lord. That's our D. And never be ashamed. How often? Never. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. And A, always be ready. That's the Christian DNA. Let's understand something about our DNA. That's the building blocks of who we are. And as Christians, we draw closer to the Lord. We're never ashamed of him and his words, and we're always ready. Because it doesn't matter what's coming down the pike. It doesn't matter what the newscasts are going to bring. It doesn't matter what people are going to say. I promise you, let me prophesy right now. Here we go. I'm not doing it in the name of the Lord. I'm just prophesying. In 10 weeks, between now and 10 weeks from now, something new will be on the news. There you go. It'll be something. Probably won't be great. That would be my kind of sidekick in there. All right. Before I get into the teaching, I just want to share with you one something that happened to me. So, you know, I was going through some of the teachings that we have done, and I've gone through some of the teachings that I've done in the past, and you have to some degree, keep in mind that I have 40 years worth of teaching kind of inside me, and I have 40 years worth of notes. I still have notes. Not a joke. I mean, I have notes from the 80, early 80s, 79 and 80. So you got to think, that's a lot of notes, Dave. It's like, sure is. So I was sitting there and I said to the Lord, you know, I said, I'm going through this material and I just want to make sure that I stay in sync with you. And I'm going through some of the past and some of the new stuff. And I want to make sure, because I know your word is loaded and there's just so much there to share. I just want to make sure my stuff stays fresh. And is there anything you want me to be aware of or remember in regards to teaching or sharing with people that are in the audience? You won't believe this. Well, some of you won't. Some of you will. But the Lord reminded me of the last 10 of the last 35 Bibles. I'm just talking about the last 10. How I have notes from Genesis to Revelation. Probably about 10,000 to 12,000 notes for each Bible. And I think like the Lord was like going, plenty of stuff. Just plenty of stuff. Don't worry about the future. Just plenty of stuff. Let it go. Like, okay, I think I'll just forget about that. All right, in lieu of that, let me bring into you the next teaching that is coming up. By the way, the Lord always provides more than we will ever need. Now, unto him, according to all that we can imagine, according to all that we can believe, according to all that we can see, God does abundantly above that. And you have to remember, it's like God doesn't go, it's just enough to get you through. Whoa! Now to him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above, what is that? Above all that we ask or imagine. To him be glory, world without end. All right, so that just gives you a great understanding. Never forget, the Lord has more than enough. Now, in lieu of that, it's a perfect segue. Did not plan that into this thing that I have called Three Rules of Giving. I don't care if you give to this show. I love it. I think it's great. If you can't give, that's totally cool. I want you to give to your church first. I want you to give wherever the Lord leads you. I'm not one that promotes, if you don't give, God's going to curse the bread and it's going to turn moldy. I'm one that's more along the lines of, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you reap generously. Those are the principles that contain. I don't believe the curses carry through that same way, because remember, at the cross, those curses were broken. That's not the point. The point is this, and I don't care if you agree or disagree. If you think, no, I have to give, give. I'm not telling you not to give. I'm just telling those that can't figure out the differential, take a deep breath. But 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly, wait, didn't I just say this? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has proposed in his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there's some people that come back and say, but that's not for the tithe, that's separating. And it's like, the principle is forgiving, period. And here are three rules for giving. You can give sparingly or you can give bountifully. You've got to do it as it is purposed in your heart, not forced, and you have to do it cheerfully. Now, by cheerfully, that doesn't mean that when you give money to the church or when you give money to a ministry, you have to tell a joke. That's not what it's talking about, okay? Though I would tend to do that, that's not where it's heading. What it's trying to be communicated, what the Lord's trying to teach you and I and all of us is, first of all, if you are going to be a generous person, God sees that generosity in response to that. Does that always mean that if you give financially, you're going to receive financially? No. What it means is that the Lord will never be outdone in giving, and the way he gives to you could be in a thousand different areas. But he wants people that are givers from the heart because he wants them to follow his example. And you think, well, what's his example? The Father gave you, without restraint, the best that can be given when he gave Jesus Christ to die on that cross for your sins. For God so loved the world that he gave. And there was no second place in what he gave. It was the best of the best. So you have to decide, do you want to give back to God, back to the kingdom, in whatever capacity, wherever it is, do you want to do that sparingly or do you want to do that bountifully? You got to make that call. I'm not making that call for you. You have to make that call. You stand before God. You answer. Not me. I'm not answering for you. You answer. And then there's that other part of that, which is really important, which is what's purposed in your heart. In other words, it's not forced. I actually went to a church that taught you have to pay double tithes and an offering. We call those church cults. Okay, that's just ridiculous. 25% minimum was what was expected. Here is the whole point. That's not the principle of giving. The principle of giving is you got to do it. It's what's under purpose of heart. It's what you're right to do. It's not, if you're a really stingy person, you're not going to give a lot. I mean, come on. But if you're a giver, if you're generous, if you're one of those people that loves to be a blessing and to bless other people, you do it as purposed in your heart, not grudgingly, not under compulsion, quote unquote, that's why there is no law for this, not under requirement, but under desire. And then the last element that's involved there is God loves a cheerful giver. When you give money to the Lord, just in case there's a moment that you forget, every moment that you have existed, every moment you have, are, and will exist, God is aware of. And in that moment when you wrote that check, when you gave that donation, when you put that cash in and you mumbled, the Lord doth hear thee. And if you are going to give God uncheerful money, you are not helping your cause in your engagement with him. He doth not like that, okay? I can't King James that any better. You want to be a person who has a generous heart, who gives, and even if you don't know where every single penny goes, which is true in about 900 trillion cases, you trust that you're giving it unto the Lord because your donation, your sacrifice, your offering is to him, period, okay? All right. What is the first lie recorded in the Bible? The serpent to Eve, you shall not surely die. That's the first one. Yowza. There's other ones too. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything
we find. He's the hungry. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to let you know. Let's start off with our next trivia question. By the way, the text 214-210-8483, the phone call in 972-445-0770. Here is the next trivia question. Who said, "Silver and gold have I none"? Who said, "Silver and gold have I none"? Here's a hint. It's not St. Francis of Assisi that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the scriptural reference, okay? All right, there you go. Let's see. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so now on HeMustIncreaseMinistry.org, okay, there is a copy of the sermon that I preached at the church on Sunday. So if you go to HeMustIncrease.org, right at the top, it says click here, and it's geared or it's timed for when I actually get up there. So if you want to watch the whole service, you can just go backwards. But if you want to pick it up just from the sermon part, you can go right to it. So there you go. So I was pretty happy about that. That's good. I got able to get that done. And I think it was a blessing for a few people. Had a few nice comments. I appreciate that. Let's see. We're going to do a new segment in just a minute. We haven't done that yet. I'm going to go over history first. And then the next segment, we're going to do the Yiddish dictionary. So I'm just – that's my way of telling T without bothering for me to kind of, you know, tell her offline. Here's our question. Who said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give you"? It's a person in the Bible. Who said that? If you think you know, you can text 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. Let's talk about a little bit of history because I want to keep everybody on top of things. Today is Coast Guard Day. Okay, I don't know what that is, but I would acknowledge Coast Guard's pretty important. So it's like we should say okie dokie. Today is Raisin Bran Day. I have no idea why. I do not understand why, and I cannot follow that for the life of me. This one I did appreciate. It's National Fresh Breath Day. Okay, and I will say. So we don't have a lot of contact, right, T? I mean, because we're in these. I have been to those churches where somebody greets you and they have not had a breath mint and could really use one. Have you ever gone through that?
Just thinking about it is cringy.
Just, and it's not that they're doing it on purpose. It's not that I should be judged by anything. I'm just saying it doesn't help. If you're thinking it doesn't help. For those that would like to know or think they want to know, on this day in 1821, the weekly newspaper, the Saturday Evening Post, was published for the first time. On this day in 1985, Rod Carew, for those of you that are baseball fans, he got his 3,000th hit off of pitcher Tom Seaver. He got his 3,000th hit, and Tom Seaver got his 300th win in the same day. That's pretty good. All right. This is the only reason I've gone through any of this, just for this right here. Ready? Ready? Okay. World's longest hot dog. This is the stuff. A hot dog measuring 197 feet. So 300 feet would be 100 yards. That'd be a football field. So this would be two-thirds of a football field. Two-thirds. Right?
I wonder how many people could eat, like, that long of a hot dog. How many people would have to take for that?
I don't know. That was just a pretty interesting question. Guess how long the bun was? 198 feet. There was 6 inches on each side of the hot dog.
Jesus.
That's unbelievable. 197-foot hot dog. Don't tell me. That is absolutely outstanding. Come on. That is like, if that is not some kind of, I mean, that's just amazing. Only in the framework of our current culture could anybody think, this is important. This is 197 foot. You should smile all day about that. All right, here we go. We have a new segment for you. A new segment.
7-7.
Okay, you ready for this new segment? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Ready? Okay, don't get mad at me about this, by the way, folks. All right, here we go. It's a rough draft. We've not done it before. Go ahead.
Shut up, just shut up, shut up. Shut up, just shut up, shut up.
Okay, play it again.
Shut up, just shut up, shut up. Shut up, just shut up, shut up.
All right, let's loop it for the future. For those that don't know, my wife has actually used this song on me before. So before you get all upset. But the whole segment is called, right? It's called, right? PSU. And you think PSU? Not Penn State University. It stands for Please Shut Up. See? I'll go ahead and play that again. See, now that people have heard that. Ready?
Shut up, just shut up, shut up. Shut up, just shut up, shut up.
On Friday's broadcast on CNN, Chris Cuomo decided that he was now going to become a Bible teacher. This is the thing, boy. Yeah, bad call. He was all upset about Jim Jordan, one of the politicians, and yelling at this, that, whatever. And here's what he said. He said, this isn't about keeping people from praying. It's about praying that people act more like Jesus and following Jesus' command to be your brother's keeper. Wrong answer, my friend Quisco. This is the problem. There are 17 references to the word keeper in the Bible. Only one is in the New Testament. That would be Acts chapter 19, verse 35, where it says, the town clerk had quieted the crowd. He said, men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis, the sacred stone that fell from the sky. So here, again, once again, just because Dave only has a limited capacity before all the corks blow, okay, you have Chris Cuomo. I'm not a fan anyway, but now he has stepped into Bible teaching. The reference that he's talking about is Genesis 4:9, where the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? He said, I don't know. He replied, am I my brother's keeper? Okay, so the expression, am I my brother's keeper, was between Cain and God, and Cain trying to use it to kind of skirt out. But Jesus didn't quote Cain. See, this is the thing. See, this is the thing. You guys say, well, you know, but there's some truth to there. Well, there's some truth that Mickey Mouse and Mighty Mouse are very similar. But in fact, or in actuality, neither one of them are real. So you have to understand how this goes. You don't quote what ain't there. Okay? You know, it's like pride goes before a fall. Nope, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Stop quoting things that are wrong. Stop trying to be Bible teachers. And it's not just Chris Cuomo. I just want to say this. The other day when I talked about the person saying, well, we can't speak for God, that was on the Fox News Network. Everybody's doing that, and it's like, you really? You're an ambassador. You're supposed to speak for God. You represent Jesus Christ to the world. If you don't speak for God, you're sinning. So the whole that whole premise where you have people that are trying to communicate the news, and then they thrust in these spiritual notions, it's just wrong. And it's even more wronger. Let me use that word. I'm going to use that word. Is that, it's not a right word, but can I use it?
It sounds good to me.
All right. It's even more wronger for them to try and use any position in the Bible when specifically these people speak against Christianity and against Jesus. I have this fantastic message. I wish God would allow me to proclaim it from the mountaintop with a megaphone. You can't be a Christian without Jesus Christ. Period. Okay? That's not rocket science, is it? You can't. I'm a Christian because I was born in America. No, you apparently are rocks for brains because you were not paying attention to anything in class in kindergarten up forward. I mean, we got to take you all the way back. And the problem that I have with this is they're misleading people. If they say nothing in reference to the Lord, it would be preferable than teaching something wrong. We're going to find out not on Thursday, but a week from Thursday, that Paul doesn't mind if people actually teach out of the wrong motives. What he minds is that they don't teach false doctrine. He had a bigger problem with that than false motives. We'll get into that at another time, a later date. Here's my whole premise. I am asking as politely as possible. Go ahead and play that again.
Shut up, just shut up, shut up, shut up, just shut up, shut up.
I am just simply, humbly, simply asking, out of the depth and kindness and compassion and love in my heart, that people that speak for Jesus at least read the book, okay? Read the book. That's all I'm asking. It's kind of the same kind of thing. And then when you have a TV person who starts proclaiming that they have inside knowledge with God that has nothing to do with the scripture, I'm just simply asking that they would please shut up.
Shut up, just shut up, shut up, shut up, just shut up, shut up.
See, people are out there going, what happened to you? I see, there's only so much I can take. As we get closer to the election, I'm not going to pull out every issue because I'm not an issue-oriented guy. But if somebody talks about the Bible and they misquote the Bible or add to the word or take away from the word, and I'm not talking about interpretation. I'm not talking about amillennialism or premillennialism or Calvinism or Arminianism. I'm talking about people that quote the Bible have nothing to do with it. In fact, the last president before this, I think, was pretty famous when he said, well, you know, the Bible says people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw bricks or stones. It doesn't say this. Stop it. Stop it. Stop talking. Thank you. All right. The person that said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you, rise in the name of Jesus Christ, was the Apostle Peter. All right. He said that. I don't have all what you want, but I got something even better. That's what we have in the Gospel Truth. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back. You chose to land on this channel to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. So we had first the PSU, Please Shut Up segment, and then you just had the interview with Peter. Now, you have to admit that this is rather funny about the interview, and T will really appreciate this more than most. But in the middle of that interview, I ask a question to the Apostle Peter, and then the Apostle Peter goes, "That's a really great question." That's funny. That's funny. All right, folks. Just laugh. There's so much yuck going on. Can you not take a break? You are welcome to text in 214-210-8483 for this next trivia question, or you can call in 972-445-0770. The book of Hebrews tells us to entertain strangers because they might be what? Okay, there you go. Just stop right there. We're supposed to entertain strangers because they might be. What's the answer? If you know it, you can call in or you can text in 214-210-8483. Seems like Tuesdays are kind of like a lighter flavor to them. And in lieu of that truth, let's not forget that we are doing our Yiddish dictionary. And this will be a classic for you. So get ready for this one. Go ahead on the music.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, venis,
yes! It brings back so many memories. Here's the first Yiddish word. And now we've heard this phrase before, but I'm going to give you the fullness of the phrase because a lot of people don't know this. The actual phrase is oy veiz mir. Now, you'll notice that sounds very close to oy vey, right?
Oy vey, yes.
Right. But oy veiz mir is the actual saying. And we've talked about this before, and I want people to recognize this. And it's kind of a fun fact, and a lot of Jewish people really don't even know this. But the oy vey being short for oy veiz mir is still the same element. This is a word that is more geared towards what is taking place. It's a reactionary and emotional word versus, or a heartfelt word more than an actual hardcore interpretation word. So when you have that kind of thing, oy veiz mir, and we've talked about this before, you can use the expression in dismay or frustration, or you can use it in joyfulness. So, for example, in Texas, in Dallas, we would say, oy veiz mir, this traffic is never going to end. And if you're driving downtown, you should just be saying that. Why would you not say that?
I completely agree on that.
I mean, it's just like, oy veiz mir. This is just, oh, look, there's four trucks in a row. Oh, look, they're all talking to one another through the windows, and nobody's moving. Okay. Or you can be, did you hear that David Spoon Experience radio show when he did the PSU segment in the earlier part, which stands for Please Shut Up? And then you'd be, oy veiz mir. Or you could say, I won the lottery. I'm never listening to Christian radio or any other radio again. I'm going to the Bahamas. Oy veiz mir. You know, that could be, woo. Okay. So all of those would work. All right. Book of Hebrews tells us to entertain strangers because they might be what? If you did not hear the first 30 minutes of this show, I would highly encourage you to do so. I don't normally do that, but I'm doing it. So we talked about the rules of giving. We talked about the PSU plus the angel interviews in there. There's a lot of stuff. All right, let's get to it. Here we go. This is rather important for us. Mark chapter 8, verse 14 through 18. They had forgotten to take bread and did not have more. Oh, did we not do the other stuff? We didn't do the other stuff, did we? Yeah, we'll skip it. All right, and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. So this is the disciples have forgotten to take bread. They don't have more than one loaf in. And Mark 8:15, he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Is that an amazing statement? And you can't get offended at me because I didn't say it. But Jesus, in saying, do you have eyes but you don't see, and do you not, and having ears do you not hear? It's like we have a brick in our brain. There's a stone in there that just doesn't allow things to process. He's teaching them, now watch this, and they're missing the point. So for those of us that have gone through Christian trials, okay, if you've ever gone through a trial, right? And then isn't it weird that from time to time, you'll notice you go through the same trial, and then you go through the same trial, and then you go through the same trial. And most of the time, we'll say to one another, oh, it's just the Lord teaching us patience. But many times, we're not catching the things that God is trying to teach. And the reason is because there is hardness in the heart. This is why on a regular basis, on a daily basis, we should be praying, Lord, you know, create in me a clean heart. Let my heart develop. Let it be a heart that if you prick my heart, let my heart bleed. You don't want to be so, you don't want to be so calloused in your heart that if the Lord pokes it, nothing happens. In fact, you want the exact opposite. You want it to be sensitive. You want your heart to be responsive. Now, the tough issue there, and we all know what it is, it's that the heart of man, apart from God, the heart of man is wicked. and it's dark, and it does bad, thinks bad things, operates in bad things, has a badness to it. And so you don't want that one to be sensitive. You want that heart, that new heart that God has given you, the one that's touched by the Holy Spirit, that's made in the image of Jesus Christ. You want that heart, that part of you, to be sensitive. And so what Jesus was doing was he was getting on their case. And it's like, he never pulled his words, just in case you're trying to figure that out. He's like, do you not see? Do you not understand? Do you have hardened hearts? He gives a real interesting key at the end of verse 18. He says, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? What is it that they didn't remember? They weren't remembering that Jesus did this multiplication on the loaves before. And he took the fishies and the loaves and made it feed the multitude. And you know what they didn't remember? Watch this. Get this. This is where the hardness comes in. They didn't remember that God took care of it, that God had it covered. And what we do is, and we do this, I do this, I'm going to bet $1 zillion that everybody does this. You get through something and the Lord brings you through it and you're like super thankful and super appreciative. And then you look at what you have left. And then even sometimes because you survived, you hold it tighter because you don't want anything else to happen. You won't have to go through that again. And yet the Lord's like, look, I provide all this stuff. What part of this are you missing? I can take what little you have. And if you have an appreciative heart and offer it up to me, I can multiply it. And it can feed multitudes. See, I think we get into this mindset that we have to hold on to it and hold it tighter. And my wife brought this up to me because I do this. So we'll get through something and then we'll have a little bit of a cushion. And just talk about money. So that we get through something and instead of being 300 in the hole, we'll have 600 plus or 800 plus or 1,000 plus or whatever it is. And then it's like, no, we can't spend any money. I got to be really careful because even though God got me through it the last time and it was like $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 and somehow we survived here, I've got this, you know, $800. I got to hold on to everything I got no matter what. And it's like, that's the problem. We don't remember that God has already delivered us 100 times over. We don't process that because of that and because we're not remembering, our hearts become hard to the miraculous power of God. Do you think whatever you're going through, with whoever you're going through, whenever you're going through it, that God's like, well, that's beyond me. Oh, well, I'm just going to let this planet be. Goodbye. You know, it's like, that's not what's going on. And that's not how it goes. And then he really does give the key to this when he says, you have eyes, you're not seeing, you have ears, you're not hearing. Do you not remember? If we would remember the faithfulness of God, we would not have such hard hearts. That's what it is. Hasn't God been completely good to you, even though you personally know you don't deserve it? You can't sit there and fight with me and tell me I'm so good, I'm this, I'm that. You weren't as good as Job, and Job didn't have a case. Therefore, yikes, right? Let's not be so hard-hearted that we are unable to remember. Let's not be so calloused inside that when God commits to us, as he has throughout his word, teaching us the truth, that we are not equally responsive, praising, giving thanks, and trusting. Instead of sitting there thinking, well, what are we going to do? We're down to this. We're down to this. You're not down to anything because God is on your side. He's for you. Your supplies are endless. Okay? The reason, by the way, that we entertain people that we don't know, strangers, is because they may be angels. The Bible says, ooh, real ones? Well, I don't think they're talking phony ones. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am, you reach down and see.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What can you do?
Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All righty. I love shows like today. They just fly by, don't they? Has it been fast for you? If it's not, you can just go like this. You just nod, say yes, and then after I leave, go, Lord, I'm sorry.
Got you.
All right, that. There you go. That'll work. You can reach out to us. Poor Tier. She's just to put up with so much. Poor Tier. So here, let's get into this. Let's do our next trivia question. Ready for that? Okay. You can either call in 972-445-0770. You don't get any macaroni and cheese for it, but you could do it. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here's the passage. You have to fill in the rest of the blank. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all. Okay. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all. And then you got to fill it in. Extra bonus if you can figure out what passage it is. Okay. I don't know about an extra bonus, but you get a bonus. I don't know what the bonus is, but you get something. You can either call in 972-445-0770 or you can text 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Hey, don't forget, folks, just want to remind you, one, livinginhisgrip.com is where you can get some of the in-and-out music. 2, all of our shows are podcasts. I'm just telling people that because we actually had somebody who's listened to the show for a while and didn't realize they were a podcast. So, I mean, it's like, well, that's totally my fault. So anytime you go to HeMustIncrease.org, there's a – you scroll down somewhere down there. It says something about 2,500-plus hours of this. I don't know if I actually define it. That's also the place, of course, you can give. And then let's see, Thursday we are doing Philippians. I am telling you right now, the one that you will not want to miss in regards to Philippians will be a week from Thursday, because that one is the one where Paul gets into the motives, and it's like, it's very deep. It's very, some people are very challenged when they hear it. So we're just going to talk about it and go with it the best we can. Let's see. That's that. Don't forget to give. We need giving. Yeah, it's the beginning of the month. Give. Okay. All right. I want to give away.
Just trying to rush everything now.
Yeah. You know what I want to do is I want to sell candy bars. No. Okay. You know what I'm saying? We used to, what Noelle and I do sometimes, we'll go to someone when they're giving. We'll give them like a $10 or $20 or whatever, and then we'll say, don't say anything. Just give it free to the next couple of people. Because it's like, that's kind of a cool, you know, it's that whole pay it forward thing. Oh, we never called it that. We would just do it and see where it went. Okay, I want to share something with you that is not controversial, but it's a challenge for you. It's a challenge for me, especially in these times when you're wearing masks and so on and so forth. So just think of all your social contacts, all the places where you reach people, touch people, and so on and so forth. Mark chapter 5, verse 16 through 19. Those who had seen it described to them how it happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore Jesus to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany Jesus. But Jesus did not let him, but said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. So it's important for you and I to understand that Jesus calls people to different places, different levels, different things on a regular basis. For example, for those that had read the story about the rich young ruler, remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? He said, okay, I see where you're at. I see you think you've kept all the commandments. Here it is. I'll keep it simple for you. Sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And the guy was like, nope. Okay. The idea, though, is that Jesus did not put that stress or that command on every single person. Have you noticed that? Not everybody has been called to take every single thing they have, to give it to the poor, and follow him and do that. That guy needed it because in his heart, he would never make anything else the Lord except for the pursuit of money. And for him, that was a big deal. Okay. Here's this guy that's demon-possessed that, by the way, has no teaching. Okay, I'm looking for witnessing 101, witnessing 102, how to represent the church 103. I'm looking for wear nice clothes, number 4, even the breath mint, number 5. Not there. It's just not here. And the guy wanted something. And just think about what the guy wanted. The guy was like, I want to follow you, Jesus. The exact opposite of the rich man, by the way. He's like, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, yeah, you can't come with me. Now, isn't that bizarre? You would think Jesus would say, sure, absolutely. But no, everybody has a purpose. Remember, between John and Peter, Peter was told what way he was going to die. And then he looked at John, and then he looked at Jesus. He goes, well, what about this guy? And Jesus goes, what's that to you? You follow me. Your job is to do what I've set before you, not to worry about his job. Okay? That's so important. Because there's ministries out there that say, you got to do all the ministry the way we do it. It's like, no. That's not even biblical, okay? And so the understanding is this guy was told by Jesus to share, as simple as possible, just share the great things that the Lord has done. There's nothing in this where he's give them a 5-point homiletical message in which you are able to communicate the Greek and the Hebrew in such a way so as to scope it out for a 34-minute and then an altar call. It's not there. He says, go home and tell them what the Lord did. And what we try to do is we try to figure out, well, if I'm ever going to say anything, I got to figure out how to couch it, how to put it together, what to do with it. And it's like, yeah, no, you don't. because it's not your capability of communicating that's going to move people anyway. It's not what you're sharing that the Lord did. It's what the Lord does with your sharing with that person in their ears, in their mind, and in their heart. This is why nobody has to be Billy Graham. In fact, the way that we've promoted Billy Graham is beyond Billy Graham, and I think that if he were alive, he would tell you that. It's like people way too high a pedestal. He was just doing what the Lord told him to do. And that's what we're told to do. And if you're one of those people that just like, man, I don't really share, just that's no problem. If this is something that you want to try and move in, ask the Lord to help you. But don't try and be professional. You know what you do? You just tell people what the Lord did. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to have a perfect intro. It doesn't have to get an A plus in English composition. You can just say, oh, man, I was about checked out. And then the Lord pulled me out of the pit. People would be like, what? It's like that's the Holy Spirit working with you, helping you say what happened. And then it's none of you. You didn't do it anyway, did you? I thought the Lord did it. And that's what Jesus even tells them. Go home to your people and report what great things the Lord has done for you. Not that you did. I didn't do anything. I talk about the story and the different points. I'm a part of that story, but it's the Lord's story. So share that what he's done. And you don't have to, and guess what? Some people are just going to laugh and mock. But there's other people that will go, wow, I need exactly that. I remember talking to somebody who was helping me when I wrote the book. They were helping me with some editing because I'm really bad at editing. Just, you know, phenomenally terrible. And it's really good to be in a PhD class when you're bad at editing. Just trust me on this one. But anyway, after they had read some of the she actually had said to me, I don't understand. What does the Holy Spirit do? I mean, what do you do? I mean, does that, I always feel like I'm missing something in my faith. We spent time talking about how the Holy Spirit gives people that ability to walk the walk where it's real. And that engagement with God is powerful and makes changes. And be honest, I don't always get it, but, you know, I try to walk with the Lord and try and follow what the Holy Spirit's teaching me, and the Holy Spirit gives me the right things to say, or it leads me down this direction or protects me this way. Just tell it. You don't have to perfect it for it to have the power. I did say this at the church. I think I said it in the second service, not the first. But, I mean, the best prayer in the world is, Jesus, help. It doesn't have to be long or wise or anything. It just has to be the Lord. And the Lord has this phenomenal ability to take the most demon-possessed, disgusting people who have ever existed and put gold in their mouth. And that makes all the difference. So, you know, start with, see if you haven't talked to your family or just your friends or your neighbors, you know, maybe they ask the Lord for courage. But the only thing you got to do is tell people what God has done. How much God has had mercy on you. Isn't that cool? You don't have to make up anything. Just say it the way it is, okay? All right, answer to the trivia question. Whatsoever you do in deed, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.